Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. It's been a few
weeks.
It's been a few weeks.
Does this start season two officially for us?
Yeah, this is season two. Yep.
Woo! We made it.
Yep, we
made
it.
The haters said we couldn't do it, but we did it.
We done did it.
Like Taylor Swift said.
What did she
say?
The
haters gonna hate.
Oh, yeah.
Hate.
But the ainters gonna ain't.
Ain't. And she's just gonna shake it off.
Oh, there's so much I want to talk about.
Wait, first off, just one side note. Yeah. Have you been listening to the Channel 33 podcast with the two ladies?
You know, I listened to one of them, and I haven't listened to any since.
Oh my gosh, it's such hard garbage.
It's not good, is it?
Such hard garbage. It's awful. They did a whole podcast about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And, like,
they did a boy band one today, but yeah.
I saw the boy band one, and I was just like, nope, don't have time for it.
I can't do
it. She, like, so the one who does the NBA show.
Yeah, Juliet Littman.
Juliet Littman knows nothing about anything.
Oh, man, I'm going to let you say this.
Juliet Littman knows nothing about anything. Like, she is a vapid waste of space. And how she got on to Grantland and now, oh, like,
yeah,
the
this
ringer.
It's kind of like Brian Windhorst all over again, right?
Like, yeah, what did she do? Like, what joke is Bill Simmons playing on the world?
Well,
with Juliet Littman.
This is terrible. B-Mort's going to hate us for saying this. I can't imagine. B-Mort is rolling in his proverbial grave right now.
The grave that is him listening to this on his ride to school today.
But you're right. Juliet Littman is truly terrible. I did like her show NBA After Dark on Grantland. But that's because I like Chris Ryan a lot and I really like Andrew Sharp.
I love Chris Ryan. Like, I don't know why I like Chris Ryan so much. Like, I love the energy he brings to everything he does.
This is going to sound really vain. Have you seen a photo of Chris Ryan?
I've watched the video versions of the Watch the Throne
podcast. Yeah.
I've seen him.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
It is surprising. It makes me feel, like, kind of weird inside. Like, I feel bad.
Also, he sounds significantly younger than he is.
Yeah. Well, he looks old, too.
I don't know.
Andy Greenwald.
Yeah, if you want to feel bad, go Google him. Also, if you want to feel bad, Google Juliet Littman too.
I shouldn't have said that. B-Mort's gonna. We're gonna hear about that in the text thread.
I shouldn't have said that.
No, but this is. Do you hear? The Grantland had Juliet Littman on, in some sort of like not advisory role. It was like they brought her on to contribute in a column. They liked her so much, they brought her on full time to write and to be a part of these podcasts. But like. She's got a thing. Her and Chandler Parsons got a thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you heard?
How did she get Parsons on?
I don't know.
Although, you know what?
Have you seen him tweet at her? He tweeted at her, "I miss you."
No, that's insane. But like, honestly, after I listened to that 30-minute podcast interview with Chandler Parsons,
yeah,
I was like, I'm not gonna be sad when he doesn't re-sign with the Mavs this year. Like, I'm just so over him.
Didn't you love the stories about Dirk though? Like.
Yeah, that's great. But you know what was great about those stories? It's just 100% Dirk being like the greatest NBA player of all time.
Yeah. The story he told about how he would like shoot like a contested jumper and like from the bench, like Dirk would be yelling, "Of course!
Of course!" Before he'd even like take the shot.
I love it. I love it.
Dirk has to be the best teammate of any man in the NBA. Like,
yeah. So
the man is just so unique.
You furiously defended Chandler Parsons' max contract.
I still don't think it was the wrong thing to do because
you kept him from Houston?
That's one part of it, and I love seeing Houston struggle this year. But another part of it is just how poorly the Mavs would be doing without him.
Yeah.
Like, we would have nothing. And, like, we have very little now.
Right.
But we would have nothing without him.
Yeah. Well, he's been injured a lot, though, so it feels like. Like, I feel like I haven't seen a whole lot of full Chandler Parsons Mavs games.
Yeah.
But I also feel.
He's been fine. Like he goes through hot spurts, cold spurts, but he's been fine for the most part.
Yeah. Well, dude, we got some movies to talk about. We got some Oscars to talk about. And we mentioned this earlier. It feels like forever ago, but how do you grade Chris Rock's monologue and his overall performance as host? Do you give him an A, B, B minus?
Dude, I go A.
Yeah, me too.
It was everything I could have hoped for. Like, it was fantastic.
I thought it was really, really, really funny. I Googled his name the next day, though, like into Google News, and there was a whole lot of outrage from everybody.
Okay, so a lot of the Oscar stuff I saw ended up coming down on Chris Rock. Like, he was funny, but...
Yeah.
Then they had their problems with it. Like, he went too far. The
Asian
kids. It was too much about race.
Yeah.
Oh, people getting mad about the Asian kid thing.
Which
like,
was like, come on. You know those kids' parents were so thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I didn't understand. That's not a negative stereotype. Like, if you have, like... Okay, we need this lawn mode on the stage.
Yeah.
Here comes... Like, that's racist. Like,
that would
like,
be racist,
bad.
But it's like, oh, that, what are they trying to say? Asian people are smart, you know? It's
like, yeah, I saw people were mad about that. Like, I saw a BuzzFeed article about Asians complaining about this stereotype.
Yeah.
What?
I know. It's like
that
Asians...
That can only help
Asians,
you.
It's like, first off, let's just get one thing clear here. You're not a minority. Second off, like, in the world, you're not a minority. There's more of you than anyone else. Number two.
That's correct. And it's not even close.
It's not close. It's not close because Indians are technically like, Asians as well.
Right. There's more like Eastern Asians and there's more Southwestern Asians than there are anything else, which according to Be More, I believe Southwestern Asians are actually Middle Easterns.
Oh.
He thinks India is part of the Middle East.
Hey, I was with him on that train though, so I can't dig. Or I can't like totally get him. All right,
dude.
So
I'm gonna
welcome us right now.
This podcast was just like our text conversation,
dude. It should be. Why shouldn't it be?
That's all it should be.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I was dying at the Make America Great Again. Like, Aaron not being in this country is part of Trump's plan to make America great again.
Sorry. It's tough times, man.
It's like, hey, my ancestors raped and murdered, so I can be here.
I can't understand you guys' just absolute hate for Hillary.
She's awful. She's truly terrible. Like, it's amazing to me that, like, I'm wondering if there's something you can, like, you got to tell me one redeeming quality, one thing that's, like, good about her. I can't even, like.
She is a Democrat.
No, but she's not, though, right? Like, she's a Democrat the same way that Trump is a Republican, right? Like, it's not real.
No.
It's not real.
No, because her husband is one of the great presidents
that
of the last 50 years.
That doesn't
years.
Matter. Do you know how badly she doesn't want to be like her husband, though? That's the thing. Like, she badly doesn't want to be
I
him.
Don't know that. I think she's going to have, like, a lot of the same people are going to be in the White House working with
Dude,
her.
Dude, no. That's not. No.
And
that will not. She's going to blaze her own
did
trail.
You listen to, did you listen to the Simmons podcast with the speechwriter?
Dan Pfeiffer and Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau, by the
right.
way. I was under the impression I was going to get an interview with the Jungle Book director, and that is not what I got.
I was so out when I saw that. I was like, oh, no, not the guy from... Chef.
didn't you think
don't
though?
This.
Like, I bet. I mean, Bill Simmons was being respectful by not putting in parentheses "not the Iron Man director" like in the title of the pod.
Right. Which, dude, haven't you seen a? I saw something like from the director of Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
For Shane Black's new movie.
What?
I'm like, Shane Black is so much more than the director of Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Like, Kisses, Bang Bang. Thank you very much.
That's a great movie.
Really great.
How about like Lethal Weapon?
Oh, yeah. Another great one. Number 4 is my favorite.
I just have to issue an apology next week. Rajon Rondo style.
Rajon Rondo style. The non-apology apology.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, he did not care. He had no remorse, by the way, about what he said about Bill Kennedy.
No, he is a homophobe for sure.
Yeah, but it's so hard when he's dishing 11 assists a game. You know what I mean?
You guys aren't going to re-sign him, so what does it matter?
You're right, we're not. We're really not.
There's no way.
Yeah, you're right, there's not. He's going to go to New York Knicks, where he's going to have great success.
So much success. Oh, my goodness.
Dude, he's been...
They
he's
might
been,
actually yeah. almost make the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no way. As long as Carmelo Anthony's there, they're not making the playoffs. Dude, I bought some basketball shoes, by the way.
What'd you get?
I got the Kobe's. I know. What am I supposed to do? First off, the LeBron James shoes look like maybe if I'm like gonna go to the moon, I'll get a pair of those or something, like those space shoes. They look terrible. The KDs look a lot better, but they're not comfortable. And like I looked at the Kobe's and I put them on and they were just too comfortable.
Dude, what are you doing not getting Starburys?
Oh, dude, you know I already have a pair of Starburys.
You better have 20 pairs for the price you're paying.
Dude, they're $3 a pop. They're $3.
So cheap. So worth it.
Thank you, Stefan Marbury, dude. Oh, so good. Shout out to the to the MVP of the Chinese League, Stefan Marbury.
Dude, Hall of Fame, first ballot Chinese League.
Oh, dude, Yao Ming
He's
loves
made
that
it. Did Yao even I don't think Yao ever even played in the Chinese League.
No.
Nor should he have.
No.
How many years did he play in the NBA?
Is Yao still alive?
I think Yao's like 29. Oh. I think he just went through the NBA really fast.
29. Oh, gosh.
No, I remember him playing Sean Bradley, and Bradley's like ancient now. Hey, does anybody listen to our podcast know Sean Bradley, you think?
I have a funny Sean Bradley story. Can I tell you? Sean Bradley added me on Facebook.
That makes sense.
He clearly thought I was a different David Stauffer, but he...
Right.
It showed my location as in Utah. Granted, there are over 100 David Stauffers in the state of Utah, so it could have been any. There are hundreds, actually. Like,
that's outrageous.
It is outrageous. I went to the public library when I first moved here, and they tried to make me pay like overdue fees or whatever. And I was like, no, I just moved here. I just want a card. And they pulled up 12 David Stauffers in just this, like, in the local. It was like Midvale Public Library, and I was like, what? 12 David Stauffers? How does it make sense? So clearly, there's a David Stauffer Sean Bradley knows in Utah, and we have like 10 mutual friends, Sean Bradley and I, and he adds me on Facebook, and I accepted his friendship, and we've got a great little correspondence going. So to answer your question, I know Sean Bradley, friends with him on Facebook.
Wait, you have a correspondence going?
No, we don't have a correspondence going, but he's liked some of my stuff.
There you go, man. Yeah. Hey, just an update on Yao Ming. He did play from 97 to 2002 in the Chinese League.
Wait,
and during
that
those
overlap
years,
when he played in the NBA?
He was drafted in 02 in the NBA.
Oh, okay.
So he was the rebounding leader through 2000 through 2002. He's also the blocks leader and the slam dunk leader, which is a stat that they keep there.
In China?
Yeah. So he had...
The slam dunk leader?
China,
did they have an asterisk that says, like, only person that has slam dunked?
Yeah, they have as many slam dunks as the WNBA every year.
Oh... Dude, WNBA games are getting good, though.
Dude, they're getting... We just got a team in Dallas, so I'll
be
going to as many WNBA games next
year.
The Dallas Wings.
Oh, okay. I don't know how I feel about that, but whatever.
I can tell you how I feel about it.
Dude, Sacramento Monarchs have a championship. We have those hanging from the rafters in ARCO Arena is the Sacramento Monarchs WNBA championship.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, we do.
Are they still a franchise?
They're not a franchise anymore, but it still hangs in the rafters.
They should take those down. That's embarrassing.
Dude, are you kidding? In Sacramento? Dude, we're hanging our hat on that, get bad boy. No way we're taking
What
that
banners
thing.
Do you guys have? Because you don't have any West
titles,
do you?
So we've got Western. We got a banner that
Division
says that we went into Game 7 in overtime of the Western Conference Finals in 2002.
No, you don't.
We've got
the saddest banner ever.
Does Vlade Divac's jersey count as a banner? Because we got that. We got...
Well, I'm sure it's just his actual jersey up there.
Yeah, it is.
It's just that big.
And yeah, it's just a banner sized. We got Chris Webber up there. We got Peja Stojakovic, who, hey, man, shout out to Peja. Helped you guys win a championship.
We appreciate Peja every day. I do, at least.
Dude, that was my favorite player growing up. I'm a huge Peja fan. I saw him at McDonald's. And he was so nice to me. That's all we have hanging in the rafters in the Monarchs championship banner, which is like you'd be shocked the amount of pride that Sacramento has for that banner. So
that's got to go.
Isn't it amazing that the franchise is gone? It's non-existent. It just
that's
got to dissolved.
Go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of gotta go, did you see 10 Cloverfield Lane? Because I did last night, and we're not gonna go into full review. All I'm gonna say is this. It's an excellent film. It's a great, great mid-March film. Check it out. I don't think the third act is quite as good as the first two, but it's like a surprisingly great movie. But that's as much as I'm going to say. because we're here to talk about a different movie.
Well, I mean, as far as installation into the marathon of movies leading up to John Goodman's death, this is a great one. Like, we'll all watch this one and be like in 2 years when he's dead, and we're like, oh, dude. No. We'll watch this one and be like, John Goodman, remember.
There's sadly a lot of truth to what you're saying, because there were several different shots and scenes that I was looking at him, and I'm like, he's not going to be with us for much longer. He is like John Candy right now in like 91.
Can we take some bets on when he dies? Oh. Will he be the final person that they show at the Oscars?
Like, oh,
the big ender.
Could you believe who the ender was this past Oscar?
Spock?
Leonard Nimoy.
Get out of here.
That's over Paul Walker? No, Paul Walker's in the last one.
Some art director should be above him.
There were several people that shocked me weren't in there. First off, David Bowie wasn't in there. He not only should have been in there, he should have been the last one.
Agreed. Yeah, he's in a lot of movies, kid.
Yeah, like, a ton.
Spock, like, his contribution to film, like, isn't that incredible.
No, they're movies that aren't real movies because they're based off of a TV show. That's right. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, anyway, so what's going to be... So I'm going to say he's going to be the ender, which means he gets two pictures.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that one of them is going to be...
Argo.
Him. No. Yep. I mean, like, yes, the Academy loves Argo.
Yeah, they do.
But I think it's going to be him and Lebowski.
Lebowski. Ooh, interesting. Oh, okay.
And then I think the other picture is going to be Sully from Monsters.
Oh, I think Sully's... I would guess Sully and Argo, though. Like, they're going to do that little clip of from Argo where he's, like, says something to the effect of, like, a bunch of people pretending like they're famous or faking the story, blah, blah, blah. Like, sounds like Hollywood. And I really butchered that quote. But that you know that's what they're going to put.
Totally going to be what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, totally. The self-deprecating,
self-referential. Then it's going to be Monsters, Inc. And it's like, can't wait till we go to Monsters University.
Oh, my gosh. How crushed would you be if it's an actual Monsters U clip instead of Monsters, Inc.? I would be devastated.
Well, first off, B-Mort would be stoked, so I'd be kind of happy for that.
He said Monsters U was his favorite Pixar film.
Get out of here. Such insanity.
I know. So nuts.
Speaking of
Pixar, Zootopia. That's what we're going to talk
Zootopia
about.
Now? Okay, so Oscars, we're going to say whole night, pretty great, except for the fact that give all the awards to Mad Max. I felt pretty vindicated when they were winning all the awards.
Yeah, they won all the technical awards, except with the exception of visual effects, which was supposed to be between Mad Max and Star Wars, and then Ex Machina comes in and gets it. Now, initially,
so happy about that.
Yeah, initially I was pretty happy too, because it was like, oh yeah, this is the show Ex Machina some love Oscar, right? They should have been nominated for Best Picture. But then I stopped and thought about it, and I thought, like, this does not deserve the Oscar over The Force Awakens. It just doesn't. Like, the amount of visual effects work done in Ex Machina versus The Force Awakens and the quality. Like, I love Ex Machina, and I want it to get love, but it just didn't have better visual effects than The Force Awakens. It just didn't.
You're wrong. I mean, like, it's not a matter of better visual effects. It's the fact that when you watch Ex Machina, you don't realize you're seeing special effects. Like, everything looks real, and they had next to no budget.
I don't know, dude. I'm still convinced Maz Kanata is not fully CGI. Like, I think that's actually for real.
No, Maz Kanata looks terrible.
I know. I have gripes with Maz Kanata a little bit. But no, dude, those X-Wings, some of those TIE stuff, like, there's just an immense amount of really good CGI work and actual practical visual effects, which is still a part of that category when judging. That, I don't know, it just blows my mind. Like, look at the character Unkar Plot. A mixture of practical and CGI, like, that alone was better than Alicia Vikander's AI.
No, that's false. Alicia Vikander's AI was incredible.
Dude, did you see her? She got an Oscar for Ex Machina, I think.
I'm just worried that now she's going to, like, fall into the Jennifer Lawrence getting an Oscar too young problem.
Yeah, but she wasn't, like, as adorably lovely as, you know what I mean? Like Jennifer Lawrence, like, had a calculated trip up the stage, you know?
Multiple times. Yeah. She's the worst. I've just discovered she's
the worst. Did you see Ariana Grande's impression of her? On SNL?
Yes.
It was really great.
Okay, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Her whole SNL performance.
Whoa.
So much better than I was expecting.
Way better. I was stunned. But she did this whole thing on Family Feud where she was like, oh my gosh, I'm like so relatable to like everyone in America.
Right. The Family Feud bit was... Like, I don't know. The Family Feud bit was weird because I felt like they spent the entire time doing introductions.
Yeah, that's what they usually do.
I mean, Her music bit, solid.
Yeah. Oh, the title like, one?
The title records one. And then...
I mean, I still like, I feel like she was Bruno super Mars's funny, but Pandora it worked. One better, but...
Yeah. Give me Ariana Grande. Bruno Mars is pretty trash.
Well, I would, yeah, I mean, I agree with that statement. But this is, they literally did the exact same sketch they did with Bruno Mars in Pandora. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the exact same sketch.
Right, it's SNL. There's nothing creative going on.
I know. God, poor Keenan.
The Keenan and Kel joke, also very, very solid. Dude, maybe the highlight of the night.
Speaking of SNL, we have to talk about this, man. You saw the Ghostbusters trailer.
No comment.
No, I don't want to get myself you gotta, in trouble with B-word. Look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Tell me what you think.
It looks terrible.
It looked terrible.
It looks awful.
It's really, really bad.
I don't want to see it.
Oh, my gosh.
I have no desire to see that movie. Oh,
why did they have to do that to Leslie Jones?
Well, Leslie Jones has a big bag of nothing.
Oh. Whoa.
She has one bit, one character, one speed. It's a fun speed, but that's it. Like, she's angry Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And, like, at least Chris Pratt's likable. Like, wow. I just hate that, like, every time she's on SNL, she does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And she's playing the same character in Ghostbusters.
She is.
I'm not asking her to, like, be rangy. I just want, like, to see something except mad black woman. Yeah. Which, like, just kind of feels like she's playing into a stereotype.
That's what it felt like.
Hey, cash those checks. Cash those checks.
Yeah, right. But I don't know, man. I was never I was against them bringing Ghostbusters back, period. Even if it was Bill Murray agreed and Dan Aykroyd and they want to come do a third one, I'm like, I don't need it. I'm happy with the two I got. I really don't need a third one. This never works out well, right? And then we definitely don't need a reboot. Now, if we're going to reboot it, bring in Paul, you know, Feige. I'm not saying that right.
Easy.
Dude, how do you say it? I swear I'm trying.
Easy.
Paul Feig? Feige?
That's it.
Feige?
Take a step backwards.
Feige.
Two steps back.
Feige.
There you go. Okay. Oh, that's actually worse. You might have to bleep all of that.
No, I'm really trying here. I'm really trying. It's a hard last name. But I like him. I like all of those women that are cast, right? Even though I really don't want a Ghostbusters reboot of any kind. I like, and so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm willing to have an open mind here. I think these are all great people. But man, that trailer took me right back into the camp of, whoa, we don't need this. I don't want this. This does not look like it's going to be very good. I did see the Russian version, which had a bunch more Chris Hemsworth, which I love that they don't serve up Chris Hemsworth to the American crowd, but they like just they make it look like a Chris Hemsworth action movie in the Russian trailer, which is really bizarre considering he's supposed to be like the receptionist or something. I don't know.
Right, he's the receptionist.
I'm deeply worried about it. But speaking again of being deeply worried, next weekend, Batman v Superman. How excited are you? Where's your stoke meter at for that?
Zero.
Oh my gosh. Negative one for me.
Negative one.
Negative one. Jimmy Kimmel's bit is the best product, the best thing that has come out of that.
It's going to be so bad.
The movie does not look good.
One more comment before we move on from Ghostbusters 3. Melissa McCarthy, I'm suffering some serious Melissa McCarthy fatigue.
Oh. See, that's why despite I didn't see fact, Spy, but you did.
Like, I loved Spy, but even with Spy, I'm still suffering mega fatigue, and I keep seeing the trailer for her new Girl Scout cookie movie.
Oh.
And I can't. Nope. I won't. Like, terrible. And then as far as, like, reboots that don't need to happen, or, like, movies where old people continue to come back to make more movies, Indiana Jones 5, don't need it at all.
Okay. So that I was going to bring rather, that up. You don't need it. But don't you feel like this is, like, don't you feel like this is a little bit of the, we had Rocky 5. Is where we ended on that, right? And then they brought in Rocky Balboa, and it kind of, like, helped heal the wounds of Rocky V. And it was like, okay, good. We left on a good note. We're good. We can put this to rest. Now, of course, we got Creed later, which was excellent. But, dude, we've left off with Indiana Jones, one of the most iconic movie heroes, with the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I mean, it can't get worse than that. Aren't you willing to just roll the dice and see if they can at least end on a better note?
I think it can get worse.
No.
I think it can.
Shia LaBeouf is in that movie. Shia LaBeouf is his son in that movie. It's not going to get worse.
It totally could.
So you're out on this, huh?
He's 15 years older than Sean Connery was in Crusades.
Dude, he will be 78. And this comes out in 2019, by the way. He's going to be 78 years old. Do you not want to see a 78-year-old Indiana Jones? No?
No. No. Not even, like, not even as a joke. Like, I don't even want to see an SNL sketch of 78-year-old Indiana Jones.
Well, we're getting it.
Like, I feel like they're going to try and... If they want to do a thing like Star Wars Episode 7, where we have a young black man come in and kind of take the reins, or a young lady come in and take the reins who's, like, solid actress, and he just kind of plays a some sort of, like, he's the professor, and they just kind of come with him on a journey, and they kind of do things, and he's just kind of old.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could talk about that.
Okay.
But even then, that sounds like it could be a beating.
Okay, so what? How about this scenario? We remove Harrison Ford. He's too old. We just bring in the heir to the throne, Shia LaBeouf, to just play the part.
I know you're making a joke, but I really don't think he's the worst.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
I don't think he's the worst, period. I think he was one of the worst things in that movie. I think that was a huge mistake. Oh, he was
awful in that movie.
Yeah.
But I think that movie was just bad start to, man, like, he was just a part of what was terrible.
But don't get me wrong. Like, I have a season pass to the Shia LaBeouf art show, right? Like, I'm all in.
Dude, I wish I was on that elevator.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So bad.
I watched the live stream, though, reaction of him watching all of his movies in a theater in Manhattan. I watched the whole thing. Okay, when I say the whole thing, I meant like a few highlights, but...
Yeah, yeah, what can you do?
Oh, Indiana Jones. Okay, dude, Zootopia thoughts. We do got to get around to this one.
Absolutely.
What'd you think?
My favorite Disney movie since The Lion King.
Well, hold on.
Disney cartoon.
Hold on. Don't be... Yes. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yes.
Here. Okay, you're forgetting a few movies that have come out since it, like Frozen. You're forgetting...
Stop.
Dude, I not only saw Frozen in theaters. I saw Frozen Sing-Along in theaters. That is an excellent film. But it's not better than Wreck-It Ralph or Big Hero 6.
It's better than Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh.
I thought about it. I love Wreck-It Ralph.
No.
I definitely feel like Wreck-It Ralph was way better than Brave. Should have won the Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
But this is better than Wreck-It Ralph. And you know what? I'm going to go further. It was better than Inside Out.
Oh, my.
This would be the sixth or seventh best Pixar movie.
Okay. Skylar. Inside Out is... like the third, maybe the fourth best Pixar film of all time. Zootopia no. doesn't hold a candle to Pixar. Doesn't hold a candle to Inside Out. Inside Out actually explored real themes, like other than Zootopia, which was like, hey, don't stereotype Muslims. Like that's a good that's like a good message. Don't stereotype people. Like I think that's a great message. And I really liked Zootopia's message and the way they delivered it. Don't get me wrong. I loved Zootopia. I think it's number 10 on the Pixar list if it was a Pixar film. I think it's the 10th best Pixar film.
Wait, are you not doing a joke right now? Are you being serious?
Zootopia? Zootopia was great popcorn. Yeah. Was a great popcorn flick. It was a really lot of fun. You really
think that Inside Out was better than Zootopia?
Inside Out is like three times the movie Zootopia is. It's not even close. It's not even close. It's in a different tier.
Insane.
It's in a different tier. You are talking about Zootopia, a movie where they've got blueberries, okay? Blueberries and then whatever the other thing was that they're, like, it was the most simplistic, like, from just a story standpoint, very predictable and simplistic. Inside Out actually had me guessing. Like, I didn't know if that girl was going to stay on that bus or not. Like, I thought she was going to run away from home. Like,
that's insane. You knew she wasn't going to run away from home.
Okay, I did. You're right. But Zootopia, I never had doubt. There was never a question what was going on. There was nothing surprising about it. Now, it was funny.
Yes, there was.
You're like, you've got to be kidding me. You did not like Zootopia dead giveaway. More than Inside Out.
You did not know that the assistant mayor is the bad.
It was the
villain.
Sheep from the get go. From the get go, it was
that
like,
is bullshit.
No, it is not. It is not.
You did not know it was the sheep that were the bad.
You take that
what
back.
Clue? What tipped you off that it was the sheep?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because she's like the only one nice to the furry little like police woman from the very beginning. Like that was like the huge red flag. It's like, oh, of course, one person in the government is nice to her. Of course, that person is definitely evil. Like, this is a tired trope. Like we've seen this over and over and over.
Get out of here.
No, it's true.
Oh yeah, the classic trope of the
sheep
woman finally being able to overcome. Just thousands of years of just complete systematic oppression. And then the moment that she rises to the top, she starts oppressing other people. Like, immediately. Like, that's such a great message that, like, it's this balance between feminism and people of color. Oh, stop. Get out. Like, this is such a phenomenal movie. Like, no, we're talking about
it's political, like,
the oppression of multiple
people. It's politicized to a great degree. I think West Coast and East Coast states will love it.
This is such a 2016 movie, though, because it's a whole movie about us versus them, like creating these barriers. Yeah. And what's Trump running on? He's running on us versus them. Like, this movie could not have come out at a better time.
I'm mostly doing a bit in terms of the message. I really like the message. I thought it was really good. And I thought it was very, very timely. It was not subtle in any way, shape, or form. It was very
over. No, it wasn't going for subtle, though.
No, I know. I think I think there's beauty in subtlety. I really do.
I get the idea of, like, subtlety being great, but I think this movie nailed what it was.
No, yeah. Like, it beat us over the head with its message, even though it was a great message.
It didn't, though.
It did. It beat us over the head.
It didn't beat us over the head with it. No, it would have beat us over the head with it if it was just the one message. If it was, here's women's... and their conflict, like, and look, they're rising up, and now how great is that? That would have been beating us over the head. But they said, no, we're not just going to do that. We're going to take that, and then we're going to throw in this idea of, like, do you remember Prop 8, the day that Prop 8 was passed?
I'm from California. It was the same day. I'm very familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
So the same day that black people finally got a president, the first black president, is the same day that a majority of black people voted for gay people to lose the ability to marry.
Yes.
That's what this movie is. Like, the moment she finally got what she wanted and finally got the recognition, she's like, people of color, no, you don't deserve to have what you have. Because even though there's different minority groups who are going through different struggles, just because you're a minority group doesn't mean you understand the other minority group's struggles.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can really understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
And that you can really, like, specifically get it and help them out. Like, sometimes you hurt those other people.
Isn't this why people are mad at Chris Rock for making fun of Asians?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's part of it, but we're not talking about from race to race. We're talking about one issue of, like, really, I would say, more gender-based with a rabbit. She's small. She's too delicate. Mm. She can't do these things. Women can't do that. And then the other issue of race, like, black people savage that whole comparison. I thought the fact that they did both of them is what took it to the next level. If they would have done one, it would have been fine, and it might have felt preachy. But that they did both, I thought, was fantastic and really risky, because you are probably going to offend a lot of people in the flyover states, and red crowds probably will see this and be like, ugh, liberal media trying to tell us that black people are equal.
I don't know that anyone's going to be repulsed by the message, even though it does lack subtlety.
I know somebody who walked out.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Well, you live in Texas.
I know somebody who walked out. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I live in Utah, which, although a very red state, I still feel like people, like, parents are going to jump on any, like, kids' animated film that they can, you know, they can get. So I've never heard of anyone walking out. That's so shocking to me. Like, what was the breaking point of walking out of that movie?
I don't know what it was, but at some point they walked out in, like, the first 30 minutes.
I mean, I consider walking out when they tried to do, like, the Godfather scene.
Get out. That,
I'm kidding.
It's funny.
It's a great scene. No, I'm kidding. It's a good bit.
It plays. Especially the whole, like, this is like the goddaughter or the godmother of my future granddaughter.
So
I thought it was great.
No, to be clear.
Get out of here.
I thoroughly enjoyed Zootopia. I really liked it. I thought it was
You really think that Big Hero 6 is better than this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I think Wreck-It Ralph 6 is more so. I think it's closer to Big Hero 6. This is my thing. I didn't think Zootopia was very funny. I thought it was very, like, interesting, and I thought it was really, really clever and creative, and it was very watchable. Like, it was very enjoyable to watch. I really, really liked it. It is not nearly as funny as Wreck-It Ralph, and it was not nearly as inventive as Big Hero 6.
Ooh, a superhero movie. Inventive.
Yes, yes, yes. The superhero component.
Mister, I hate The Incredibles.
Look, okay, well, okay, that's fair. Fair game. it's the superhero component of Big Hero 6 is not what's inventive. Baymax and that whole relationship of his brother and the loss and like that. I thought all of that was very inventive. And how they used Baymax as this, you know, extension of his brother and like that relationship with this non-living thing.
How about the fact that in Zootopia they're actually able to create an interesting character who didn't have to have either one of her parents or her sibling die, or both her parents and her sibling die. Like, I feel like that's such a crutch in film, especially kids' movies, to have a parent die to make the character interesting. We didn't have to do that in this one.
Speaking of crutch, you seem to have no problem that Jason Bateman played Jason Bateman, which was the least interesting character of the whole movie.
Have you seen a Jason Bateman movie lately? He can only do one trick.
I know.
And it's great. It's a good trick.
It's a good...
He's Jason Bateman, though.
Yeah.
He's Arrested Development. He's Bad Words. If he tries to do anything else, it doesn't work. Although, you know what? He's pretty good in The Gift.
He's really good in The Gift. He is different.
A little bit twisted in that.
Yeah, it is pretty twisted.
So... What? Why? Why should I dislike that?
Never mind.
Why would I have a problem with that? It's not like it's not Jason Bateman's in a ton of cartoons.
It was just like so cliche. Like it's like right, Jason Bateman's the sly fox.
Oh, that classic Jason Bateman's in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Trope that we've seen a thousand times.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, he's never been in a cartoon.
Oh, sarcasm. Okay, hear me out. My favorite film so far this year starts with Hail Caesar. Okay. Then it goes to 10 Cloverfield Lane. Then it goes to probably The Secret Soldiers of Bing Crosby.
No.
And then Zootopia.
You did not like 13 Hours more than this.
No, I didn't. No, I would put Zootopia number 3, though. I liked I liked Cloverfield more than Zootopia.
That's...
Look, Zootopia was really, really good.
I don't feel like you think that.
I really do. It was really, really good. It's not. It wasn't great.
And you're not going to see Deadpool,
really,
right?
Really,
because you're too cool for Deadpool.
Yeah, I'm superhero fatigue. You know what I'm saying?
That's
just not inventive enough.
It's no. That's I hate you. I'm so mad at you right now.
I know you are. You wanted to do a Dead Pod so bad.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Like it's my
favorite
movie.
Ryan Reynolds. I've done Ryan Reynolds as a superhero already, and I'm just done with it. I really don't want. I'm like not interested at all.
That's like saying because you didn't like George H.W. Bush, you're not going to like George W. Bush. It's a different guy.
Ooh, fair point. Ah, dang. George W. was so... He seems so cool, though. He loves the Rangers.
That's what I'm saying. I love Bush. I mean...
That's a fair... No, that's a good comparison. That's a good comparison.
No, dude. Like, it was so good. And I'm talking about Deadpool now. Like, I liked Deadpool more than I liked... Like, my ranking so far would be Deadpool 1.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Zootopia 2.
You like... Wow.
And then Hail Caesar 3.
Okay.
And then, like, for last place, the entire movie. For the entire year, 13 Hours. Such a trash film.
Oh.
And if I ever see Zoolander 2, I'm sure that will be competing. With.
Okay, I honestly liked The Secret Soldiers of Bing Crosby better than Zoolander 2. Zoolander 2 I did see, and it's not good. It's really not good.
Yeah.
Except every single scene with Kyle Mooney, which actually made me laugh really hard. And there's only like 4 scenes with him in it, and it's really, really funny. But like, it's the same. I mean, it feels like his 4 scenes were just like a really good SNL sketch.
Yeah.
But the movie as a whole was crap. Total crap.
You do overrate Kyle Mooney a little bit. I feel like...
No, I do not overrate him.
You do.
He can't be overrated, though. He deserves every rating as high as he can go.
Except
I mean,
number 1 for you, because Beck's better.
That's just, come on. You don't mean that.
I do, because it's
Beck
true.
Beck Bennett?
Beck Bennett is funnier than Kyle Mooney.
Oh, that's crazy talk.
Have you seen Baby Boss?
Yeah, of course
I have.
It's
the best sketch that SNL's done in 5 years.
Yeah. No, it's really funny. And... Like B-Mort actually brought this point up in the text, which I totally agree. Kyle Mooney is Steph Curry and Beck Bennett is Klay Thompson.
It's,
like, you got to have them both. They're both
the
really
opposite.
Great. They're both max contract.
Because Kyle Mooney does one thing. He shoots threes. Like, that's
dude,
not Steph Curry.
Kyle Mooney is no.
That's Klay Thompson. Beck.
Kyle Mooney.
Beck isn't Steph Curry, but Beck is like, I don't know, Magic Johnson. The greatest of all time.
Oh, gosh. I've never seen someone like go to bat for Beck like this. I kind of like it. I like that someone's in Beck's corner.
Some,
I mean,
everybody
likes
like,
Beck.
He's the best member.
Everyone likes Everyone likes Beck, but no one's picking Beck over Kyle Mooney except you.
He's the best male cast member on SNL right now. And just to prove how not sexist we are, we can admit that like the three funniest people on SNL right now are women.
Kate McKinnon.
Yes, she's the funniest person on SNL right now.
She's the funniest person on SNL right now, for sure. Like, just the UFO bit skit with Ryan Gosling alone
that
was, like, so great.
How about the sketch this week where she's the mermaid? Like, that was phenomenal.
No, she's really great, which makes me even more nervous about Ghostbusters because she didn't have a single funny scene in it.
In the trailer?
Like,
you mean the wig scene?
Is the hat? Is the hat too much? It was the hat. It was really painful. You didn't just think that was the
funniest thing ever? Also, A.D. Bryant, underrated.
Oh, A.D. Bryant. No, I agree. Who's the top three, though? Kate McKinnon. Cecily?
A.D. Bryant. No, I think Vanessa Bayer is funnier than Cecily.
Oh, yeah, Vanessa Bayer is funnier. Yeah, I agree.
Although Vanessa Bayer's Kia commercials or Hyundai commercials, whatever those were the worst things ever. Also, she worked in advertising before she became a comedian, so props to her. Yeah.
And is she the one that did the Totino's ad?
Maybe.
Who is that? No, I get mixed up?
I don't know.
She's in Trainwreck.
Vanessa Bayer is in the funniest movie of last year, Trainwreck,
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't Spy? Dude, Trainwreck was hilarious. Sarcasm. Like, the sex scenes were hilarious.
Dude, if that's not making you laugh, nothing will. Also, like, I feel bad because, like, I really like Leslie Jones, and I feel like I trashed on her earlier. Like, I love when she's on Weekend Update.
No, she's good. She's really
fun. And she flirts with the vanilla guy who they have hosting Weekend Update now who sucks.
And, Jost?
Colin Jost is the worst.
Yeah, he's not good.
No, he's bad. But
he's trying to be Seth Meyers. But
what's worse, Colin Jost trying to be Seth Meyers or Seth Meyers trying to be Jimmy Fallon?
Ooh. Oh, that's so tough because Seth Meyers is doing a bad Jimmy Fallon impression. Because
we can admit now that Seth Meyers has the worst late night television show.
He does. Isn't that amazing? James Corden is a clear above him now.
Corden clearly might be competing with Kimmel as far as like just rate. Like, it was funny hearing Cousin Sal on the Simmons podcast talking about how like he's like doesn't even want to talk about the shotgun karaoke, whatever they call it, ride along karaoke.
Yeah, carpool karaoke.
Carpool karaoke. Because like they're getting numbers that no other late night show competes with. And that's gotta kill Kimmel because like Kimmel's only bit that's successful these days is celebrity mean tweets.
Yeah. Which is a great bit, but it's getting tired.
I love Kimmel, but
I do too. I love Kimmel. Defend.
Yeah,
I feel the same. I felt like this is like Conan a few years ago. Like I have a deep, deep, deep loyalty to Conan O'Brien. I mean, I grew up watching Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Absolutely.
I think like through my high school years is like this dude was the dude that got me.
Do you remember the Walker Texas Ranger lever he had?
Oh, the lever! It was one of the best bits ever.
Such a great bit
ever. Oh, so great. He had some of the best writers. He himself wrote my favorite episode of The Simpsons, the monorail episode.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, where were you during the writer's strike? Were you on your mission?
Oh, yeah. No, it was right before I left.
Okay, because I remember watching the writer's strike times, and it was the best, Conan. Like,
I think the writer's strike, I'm sorry. I was home. I was home from my mission for the writer's strike.
I was about to say, I was about to go.
I was home from my mission.
And, like, I just remember
you talking about when he did like the one man show stuff.
Yeah, like and he like would spin his wedding band on the table for a minute just to kill time. Like he turned his whole desk, like he combined his desk with a cherry picker and like was like moving around the whole studio. Like
Conan. Well, and then he gets the Tonight Show, right? Which was like the coveted thing, the thing he always wanted. And then you watched Zimmer.
I was on my mission for whatever. That. I missed it.
Oh my gosh. It was some of the most compelling late night. They were getting some of the best ratings on The Tonight Show during the time that they knew he was going to be out. And everyone was watching him because he was just skewering NBC in his monologue and in all their bits.
Yeah. I watched his documentary where he's like really mad that Conan O'Brien gave him $30 million.
Yes.
I had a hard time kind of like being okay. Like, I mean, he got $30 million.
Yeah, you can't feel bad for him from a financial standpoint, but it was his dream job that was snatched away from him because Jay Leno wasn't ready to let go.
No, I mean, he got screwed hard, and, like, that sucks. But
yeah,
it's not like things weren't so bad for him.
Fine financially. No.
Yeah.
But it's hard to watch him on TBS now. I mean,
it's not that great. Okay, power rank. I'm going to go Colbert 1.
Whoa.
I know, like, his show is still unproven, but I love what he's trying to do. Like, I love what he's going for.
I feel like I might love it in a year.
Like, I'm putting a lot of future into this ranking. Like,
okay.
It's not number one right now. Oh, my gosh. I'd go Kimmel number one right now, but I think Colbert's show will be better than Kimmel.
Oh, wow.
And then I'd go, so you take one of those two, and then I'd still take Conan 3.
Yeah.
Then James Corden 4. And then Fallon 5. And Seth Meyers just barely really shouldn't be on the list. And really, John Oliver is better than all of them.
John Oliver is better than all of them.
By the way, both of those Comedy Central shows now, trash. Trevor Noah is trash on Daily Show. And whatever that show is after that, trash.
Yeah.
10 times worse than Trevor Noah. Like, I've only watched a couple episodes of both of them.
Interesting. So I kind of like Trevor Noah, but the more he moves away, he gets better the more he moves away from doing Jon Stewart's thing. But he started doing Jon Stewart, and then he's been slowly moving away from that, and he needs to quickly do that because he's never going to be Jon Stewart.
Right.
Never, ever.
I think, I mean, the ratings for the show that comes on after, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, Late Night with Larry or whatever.
It's supposed to be called The Minority Report, but now it's like The Larry Wilmore Show or whatever. Like.
Yeah.
Minority Report would have been a better name for it, but it's just
yeah, that's a weird. I don't like Larry Wilmore Show at all.
No, it's bad.
At all.
And, like, they just have, like, one of their writers comes out, and then they have, like, an abortion supporter, and then they talk about...
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like intelligent conversation.
Pseudo-controversy, like, contrived controversy.
Right, and they are trying to do it every single night. They should, like, have that panel thing be, like, once a month. Instead of trying to be every night. These shows should be weekly.
That's what Corden does, right? Not the panel, but Corden brings out all the guests at the same time.
Which, now, do you watch any British talk shows?
Yeah, like Graham Norton Show.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's trying to do the Graham Norton Show, which, Graham Norton Show, if we're including that, it's the best talk show.
Oh, I don't know if I put it, I really like it, but I wouldn't.
Every clip I've ever watched of the Graham Norton Show, he gets the best out of the celebrities, because first they drink. They drink on his show.
Yeah, right.
They're all out there the entire time. You get these really, like, cool interactions between people, like, you wouldn't expect to interact otherwise. And you have, like, small-time people here. Like, we don't know the British comedian or whoever sitting right next to Jake Gyllenhaal. But, like, they always have, like, interesting banter. Like, I'll take him and his show over anything here.
Interesting.
I don't know if it would work here, but I don't know. It's great.
James Corden's trying.
Well, James Corden's show is... Like, it's so weird because it has so many things I love. Because you have Reggie Watts from Comedy Bang Bang, which Comedy Bang Bang is my jam. And then.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't love him on James Corden. And interesting. Something about James Corden is just off.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think I mostly agree with your rankings, although I'd switch Conan and Colbert right now. Anticipation that Colbert will take the number two spot, maybe even number one in a year or two. I just feel like he's not fully developed. I do love that this report that I read a week or two ago that showed that he has more politicians and more non-actor guests by far than any of the other late night hosts. So you can tell that he's kind of zeroing in on his niche, which is great.
Right.
And I think he's getting funnier. I think So the Trump bit he did where he had Trump debating and arguing with himself was amazing.
I think the Hunger Games thing was good. Like the
Hunger Games is great. We did the Caesar Flickerman deal. Yeah.
And when he had Tucci
like,
come on.
Weirdly looks like Stanley Tucci, by the way. Like,
he does it. But did you see when Tucci was there?
No, I didn't. He did it with him?
Yeah, well Tucci came out, but no, like he didn't put on the Caesar Flickerman thing. He was like mad. Like he's playing it like he's mad. And he's like, my Tucci senses went off. I'm here on Broadway, the Great White Way, and like he's just doing everything like so over the top Stanley Tucci. It's the best,
dude. I have a Stanley Tucci tribute at work. We have this. We use Slack to communicate. and which is the sponsor actually of this episode, Slack. A great communication device if you work in groups at in a professional environment.
Not only do I use it, I love it.
I love Slack. Yeah, Slack's great. So we use Slack, and we have a marketing music. So so I'm a manager in my marketing department, and I created this marketing music channel where every Monday we all post an album. We link to Spotify or Apple Music. Everyone posts an album on Monday. You listen to everyone's album that week while you're working. And then Friday or the following Monday, we vote and rank them in the order that we like them. And whoever wins gets this red solo cup that I printed out a photo of Stanley Tucci, and it's the Stanley Cup. And so whoever had won the previous week's vote has the Stanley Cup prominently placed on top of their computer monitor. And like, people love it. Everyone wants the Stanley Cup so bad. And so it's kind of become a thing. So dude, Stanley Tucci, big fans at Lucid Chart of Stanley Tucci. So.
I hope the whole world's as big a fan of Stanley Tucci as I am. He's the best of humanity.
But you know what? Well, no, he's not. Mark Rylance is, because he won the Oscar in the category in which Tucci wasn't even nominated.
I hate that. No.
So dumb. So that was Sly Stallone's Oscar. Are you kidding?
I can't believe they didn't give it to Stallone.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Did you see the look on Stallone's face? It was like, of course. Oh, that they crucified him for what he did at the Globes. That's what you get for not thanking your black director and black co-star.
I guess he kind of cursed himself then in some ways, huh?
I feel a little bit like he did, though. I honestly do. I don't know if they had voted by then or not, but I feel like that actually affected it.
It's a tough thing.
Yeah. All right.
What are you going to do? Okay, so in recap, Zootopia was phenomenal, but you hated it. The Oscars were great, but you hated it.
Zootopia is the best movie of the year. It's the best movie of the year, except for Hail Caesar and Cloverfield Lane. Other than those two, it's the best movie of the year.
There's no way you like 10
on the Pixar film. What?
There's no way you like 10 Cloverfield Lane better than the number 10 movie.
It's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, my friend. This is where you say, but Zootopia has 99%.
It's at 91%.
Oh, well, even better.
Is that better?
91% over 90? Yeah.
I thought you said 98%.
No, 90%.
Yeah, Zootopia has a 99.
Yeah, Zootopia's 99. But, like, I mean, Shaun the Sheep has 100, so whatever.
Well, it's the perfect movie. By the way, Shaun 95% of audiences liked Zootopia. Only 85% of audiences liked 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Well, I kind of an idea of why that is, but...
Because the ending?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't the ending what everybody hated about the original Cloverfield?
I didn't like the original Cloverfield at all from the get-go, so... Coming from someone who legitimately did not like Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane is excellent. The first act is nearly perfect. Second act is still really strong. The third act, less strong, but still okay. Like, still totally watchable, still totally worth seeing. I mean, there's, like, maybe a couple tweaks I would have liked to it, but it's not, like, a bad third act. It's not like, oh, it ruined everything. It's just not as strong. But I would absolutely recommend going to see it. It was just a delightful surprise. Like, I was just – it's just good, old-fashioned, like, suspense-driven – story, like filmmaking. Like, it was just very, very simple, very, very suspenseful. It keeps you guessing, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just the simple recipe. It's almost like good back to the good old-fashioned Hollywood. I don't know, I just really, 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 really liked it. And John Goodman is just so good, even though it's clear he won't be with us for very much longer. He was so good. Did you see he tried to talk to Kristen Wiig?
No.
Yeah, he was on Howard Stern or something like that, and he says he'll never talk to Kristen Wiig because she treated him so rudely. Apparently, he went up to tell her like how much of a fan he is of her, and she like was like, "Stop, shh, like let me finish talking to this person." And she's like talking to someone else, and he said he was like so embarrassed because there was like a crowd of people that saw it, and he just said he was so embarrassed because he thinks that she's like the best, and he says he'll never talk to her ever again. Kristen Wiig, someone that like she, who I think might be the funniest woman on earth. Yes, no, that's what Tina he said. You need to listen to the interview. It's heartbreaking.
Although I'm currently halfway through watching Sisters, and it sucks so far. Ugh.
Yeah, I haven't. Kristen Wiig's in it.
No, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who I think are both funnier than Kristen Wiig, but
Oh, really? I think Tina Fey might be like number one in the power rankings for me.
Dude, Parks is better than 30 Rock, though.
I agree. I agree with that. As a show, as a whole, I do think Parks is better than 30 Rock. Both are really funny, but yeah, I agree. But that's because you got Chris Pratt and Nick Offerman and the little Indian guy from South Carolina.
Yeah, what is his name? I wish he was famous.
I don't remember. It's Kumail Nanjiani, I think.
Kumail Nanjiani. Oh, he's so funny. Yeah. Okay, a movie that I'm just now seeing, like, I've been kind of taking some time off from Rotten Tomatoes. The Witch.
Okay. I didn't see it.
Okay, so it has an 89 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I've only heard great things from the people I've seen it.
It has an 83 on Metacritic, which is like an insane Metacritic score. An 83.
Wow, that's really high.
Which, just for reference, Zootopia is a 78. 10 Cloverfield Lane is a 76.
Okay.
And Deadpool's a 65.
I don't understand Metacritic's algorithm, how they... It seems so weird.
Well, I disagree. Like, I think that Rotten Tomatoes is kind of weird because it's pass-fail. And so a movie can get 100, or like a movie can get a 90. It is. It's pass-fail. It's. I mean, some movies are graded on a different scale just because they're expected to be great. But, like, it's pass-fail. And so Metacritic is like school where you actually get a grade.
Okay. But how is it? I guess my confusion is in which is in the process of grading.
Well, like, so, for example, on The Witch, where'd it go? Which, by the way, I'm not sure I'll ever see, but I liked how they used the double V, old style W.
Okay. Anyway, so you have to tell me why, because I hear such good things about it.
46 critic reviews, and, like, you know, you have 43 of them are positive, 3 are mixed, and, like, they somehow get an actual number on each one. Like, Joe Morgenstern from the Wall Street Journal gave it 100. Arizona Republic's Billy Goody Kruntz. There's no way that's his real name.
Goody. Sounds real.
Goody Kuntz? Oh, I don't even like saying that. Bleep me. Bleep me on that one. Gave it an 80.
Oh, what a goody goody crude Kruntz.
No, it's Goody Kuntz. G-O-O-D-Y.
Ooh, stop trying. Yeah, this is like me trying to pronounce Paul Feig's name.
Except you're just offending. Oh, okay. Time out. Listening to conservative talk radio this week, because I love listening to conservative talk radio now. Because, like,
did you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
What's that? No, I haven't been listening to Rush Limbaugh. I'm talking about Glenn Beck a lot. I've been listening to a lot of Glenn Beck.
Oh, okay.
Rush Limbaugh is kind of supportive of Trump, so I have no time for him. I just like the guys who are, like, freaking out about Trump.
Yeah.
I can listen to that all day.
Right.
And so, homeboy's talking about Trump, and he has this lady call in, and she's like, "What we need to remember is how terrible President Barack Obama's been. The only good thing he's done is for people who are living the gay lifestyle, which is 0.0000001% of the American population." And
what?
Nobody corrected her. Like, they just went on like, "Yeah, what she just said was true." And
she has no idea that 83% of the population is homosexual.
I mean, obviously,
correct me.
Doesn't.
Are you gonna correct me? Are you gonna correct me?
That sounds right. That's what my heart feels.
Oh, I love it. Bleeding heart liberal. That's hilarious. Well, of course, they're not gonna correct her. There's no way they were going to correct her. They're not interested in facts.
No. Which. We should do a podcast sometime about Islam. I know it's kind of off our...
I'm uninterested in that, by the way.
You're uninterested.
We would do a podcast on Islam. Two white guys.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Islam is the most fascinating thing because... So, I'm a bleeding heart liberal, and there's tons of bleeding heart liberals out there. And liberalism has decided that we don't mess with Islam. We don't say anything negative about Islam. We don't criticize Islam.
Especially, you're talking about primarily the governments, the Islamic governments in the Middle East that won't let women drive and will stone women for way, way less than adultery. Is that what you're talking about?
Or just like a religion where if you leave that religion, you're put to death.
Yeah. Right. It's like Scientology.
Right. But it's this weird thing where it's kind of like there was a draft between conservatives and liberals. Yeah. And like, you can have one thing. So, like, liberals are like, we're going to draft pro-choice. And And conservatives are like, that's fine, we'll take pro-life. And then conservatives are like, we're going to take calling out the bigotry that is Islam. And then liberals are like, okay, we're going to take calling anybody who calls out Islam as bigotry.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, wait, just because conservatives are the ones who are like bigoted towards, like, here's the problem. Conservatives hate Muslims. Like, I think the wrong liberals reason. Should hate Islam. Like, I don't know if I'm offending anybody right now, but Islam
you should. I think the more radical beliefs that Sharia law entails, I think it's safe to say.
I think the religion from top to bottom is terrible. Like,
oh, okay.
I think it honestly, top to bottom.
Your fellow liberals will kill you for that, but yeah.
Right. I mean, like, my fellow liberals won't say it's a Islamic extremism. Like, they'll say, like, in an attempt to defend non-terrorist Muslims, it's like, we're just accepting Islam because we don't want to, like, call all Muslims terrorists, which I agree. Right. All Muslims are not terrorists. That's a small fraction. That's correct. But to me, it doesn't change the fact that Islam is one of the top five worst problems in this world as far as...
There are troubling components of the culture that surrounds certain
what
things in that
positives
religion.
Is Islam delivering to the world? Like, you have a billion Muslims in the Middle East... And what does it deliver? It delivers women being treated unequally, inferior creatures. Like, the way that... I don't...
I totally agree. Look, this has been my... like, I've never been able to fully embrace liberalism if for just the one reason that's, like, the strong feminist culture within Democrats that I actually like... But yet they refuse to rule with that same standard and set of standards when looking at Islamic countries. That drives me crazy. It drives me crazy that they'll defend Islam and certain Muslim-run countries because of this weird, weird like desire to defend Muslims at all costs, even Muslims that treat women terribly, right? Like, it's like, no. Like, you need to call it like you see it. And that drives me crazy.
And the part that infuriates me is that, like, liberals have no issue criticizing any Christian religion. Like, you name it.
Yeah.
They'll jump on Christians any Christians.
It's true. Christians are 100% free game.
Oh, like, especially evangelicals. Like, liberals love to make fun of evangelicals. Like, Mike Huckabee is, like, the biggest joke. But if Mike Huckabee was Muslim, whole game changes.
And like, totally. I'm untouchable.
Yeah, and like, people might say, well, what about like Judaism? I don't see anything like Judaism is really like marginalizing people or like.
It's not.
But it's not. Islam is.
Yeah.
But
I agree. I agree.
And, but saying that, like, I feel like we'll see what the response is like, but people feel like that's bigoted to say that. Like, I'd be interested to see what B-more has to say about this. Because I feel like he's.
Yeah, I would be too. He's more liberal than both you and I.
He is. He's much better at being a feminist.
Yes, he is. He loved that Ghostbusters trailer, by the way.
He loved it. He watches it every night before he puts on his Ghostbusters PJs. Stop. Then his wife tucks him in bed and reads him the Ghostbusters 3 screenplay. And she's like, and then Kristen Wiig looks over at Melissa McCarthy and they say, next time,
like,
I'll say it. And Melissa McCarthy's like, you say it.
And then Kristen Wiig said, no, and then next time, you say it.
And then
it's like, the slime got everywhere.
Is criminally misused in this scene. And it just says that in subtitles. And then Brian's like, ooh, this is so good. This makes me feel so good. Now give me my binky that has ghosts on it.
Oh. I ain't afraid of no ghost, Binky. Wow, you really took that whole poor B-more.
You know what? I've been kind of on fire this episode. I've said some things that might get me in trouble. I'm just gonna go ahead and say, ghosts aren't real.
Okay. You've never seen an episode of Ghost Hunters, or you've never visited the city of Savannah, Georgia.
My family hails from Savannah, Georgia.
What?
I've been to Savannah, Georgia.
Dude,
many
most
times.
Haunted city in America.
Yeah, I've been there many times. There's no ghosts there.
I don't know, dude. That's not what I hear. I stopped by an RV once with seven of my buddies from... I grew up in California a couple years ago. We did an RV trip from Orlando up to D.C., and we stopped in Savannah, Georgia, did a little haunted house tour. We did not take it seriously. And because they gave us little radar machines that, like, kind of, you know, tell us where the ghosts are.
Dude, the
and
mind we were having a, so susceptible.
Dude, we were having a ball with it. The problem is the other people in the group were taking it way, way more seriously than we were. And I could tell they were not appreciating our false alarm, we saw ghosts claims, which we made throughout the evening. yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, so no ghosts.
I'm going to go on the other side. Ghosts are definitely real. I think most people that claim that have seen one haven't. I think it's real. I really do.
Dude, there is a 1,000,000% chance that if ghosts were real, we'd have That's some evidence of them.
No, I think there's a better than 1,000,000 chance.
Where's the evidence? P.S.
Dude,
no UFOs ever visited Earth. Like, there are 100% chance aliens exist, but they've never been here.
Yes. I agree there's 100% chance aliens exist. I also agree 100% chance that they have visited here and that Area 51 is covering up something that has to do with them. Dude, you never watched The X-Files growing up, did you?
Did you say X-Files or Sex Files?
X-Files?
Yeah, neither. I wasn't allowed to watch X-Files. I think it was TVMA.
It was TVMA. My family, we watched it every Friday night. We got the blankets out in the living room. My parents would gather me and my three siblings around, and we watched every episode. My family was all about The X-Files. We loved it.
Dude, that was strictly forbidden.
Well, it's caused me to be brainwashed into thinking aliens are real, and the Area 51 is definitely something that the government's, you know, it's top secret for a reason.
Like, I don't believe that there's some cover up to JFK's assassination, which I hate.
But you do believe it?
There, to some degree, like, I don't think there's a huge conspiracy.
Yes,
but
you've been watching the James Franco Hulu movie, Hulu show.
No, I'm only two episodes into that show. I can't do it anymore. It's trash.
Dude, it's really good. It's really good.
Are you sure?
It's a complete guilty pleasure. It's like good trash. It's good trash.
It's so long.
It is long. I really like it.
The time for it.
Gosh, what is it about James Franco? I really like him. It's so weird.
It's that really. I shouldn't like remember him. Remember that time he was really good and he hosted the Oscars?
Oh, yeah. Him and when Anne Hathaway was peak, Anne Hathaway.
Ugh. Before
Jennifer Lawrence got there.
What is it? Her famous line from when she was doing her Oscar speech?
Oh, I don't remember exactly what it is, but yeah, that's like, that was her unveiling.
Real or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you just, for our outro, instead of our traditional song, just play her acceptance speech from the Oscars?
Okay.
I think people would enjoy that.
Deal.
Thank you. She's my hero.
Speaking of outro.
Since the last time we talked, I met Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, dude, that's right. Speaking of Cuba, The People versus O.J. Simpson. I know this is not a TV show podcast, but we've covered so many topics already. People,
if you're still listening,
watch the. If you're still listening right now, which we're, you know, whatever. People, please watch The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX. It is outstanding. And while Cuba was out doing publicity for it in Dallas, a certain co-host of the Brave Little Podcast met him. Dude, tell me about it. What was he like?
He was the most generous and cool celebrity I've met since Danny Trejo.
Is that the only guy that you've met from Jerry Maguire?
That's my first Jerry Maguire. Like, you remember last year I had a 1 in 5 chance of getting to fly to London to meet Tommy.
You had a 1 in 5 chance to meet Tom Cruise. That and kills I lost. Me.
Ugh. It haunts me every day. I know that there's like a parallel universe where I went, and that means probably
you've
like
never
extremely so, happy wait, about life.
You've had zero Renee Zellweger encounters?
I wouldn't know. I don't really know what she looks like anymore.
You've probably met the boy like a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's true. He's actually like, he's my cousin, but we didn't talk about. No, I mean, like,
was he nice? How tall was Cuba? His hands are huge.
Cuba's small. Bet. He's not that big.
Oh.
His hands are big enough that they don't fit in gloves. I saw that in an episode of OJ today.
Dude, have you been watching it?
Every single episode, man. It's phenomenal. Dude,
isn't it great?
It's so good. It is my favorite TV show I've seen in a long time. Like, it's not really good. It's not like Breaking Bad good.
No.
It's like popcorn covered.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And crap with Skittles. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is. I could watch it all day.
And I totally agree.
The Marsha character, phenomenal. Yep,
Marsha Clark.
Marsha Clark is just so good. And
dude, her hair has landed in a good spot. So
it has. I just love how they keep throwing. They go back and forth on blaming how horribly wrong everything went on each other, like Darden and Marsha. Yeah. Like, so bringing up who's the racist cop?
Furman, Mike Furman.
Yeah, bringing up Mark Furman, totally Marsha's fault. Like, oh, Darden's like, don't do it. Yeah. Darden, don't do it.
He's like, this is a bad idea. Yeah.
Marsha's like, don't do that glove. Don't do that glove. And Darden's like, you watch me. I'm gonna do the glove.
I know.
It's like every major goof is like this big thing that one of them's telling.
I can't believe they weren't able to convict him. It's crazy. But this, even though this might depart from the truth quite a bit, although I think there's still obviously a lot of truth into it, it's like it allows me to see how incompetent the prosecution team was in approaching this. Like, they thought they had a slam dunk. They just thought it was easy. But Johnny Cochran has just been waving that magic wand.
And this show, if you were young enough like me in the 90s, you didn't really get to watch the whole thing with any amount of like understanding, it makes Kimmy Schmidt that much better. Because Marsha and Darden.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah. Marsha and Darden play big roles in the second half of the season, and it all makes so much more sense now that I've seen the show. And it's fantastic, and I just love it. Speaking of Tina Fey, Tina Fey as Marsha is fantastic. Well, no, have you seen Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, then when she plays Marsha,
though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she plays Marsha.
You're right.
Yeah. Phenomenal. It's all good. Ellie Kemper. Yeah, watch that show. Ellie Kemper.
Seriously.
She's also a one-trick pony, but that's fine.
But it's a good trick.
It's a good trick. That's all you need to do is have a good trick. I guess, because that's the thing. Trick. I love Chris Pratt. I don't need him doing a bunch of tricks. I don't need him talking about dinosaur sex. I just need him being funny and likable. And
training velociraptors.
Training those velociraptors. I might need to revisit that movie with you. That movie might be terrible.
Oh, I am so nervous to come to that conclusion. But there's part of me that feels like that might be true. I think
we were so into the moment that we looked over the fact and that it's a terrible movie.
not only were we willing to say that it was a good movie, but we were willing to say that despite the odds, it ended up being a really good movie. Like, we were able to say, like, oh, it turns out it wasn't like some like pseudo good movie. It actually was good. Yeah.
But yet, we still said good.
Yeah, but I think it's really good on a first watch with low expectations. I think with expectations, it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, I think just compared to the original. Dude, we were like making sequels.
Yeah.
What were we doing?
We can't.
And that director, they're going to give Star Wars 9 to him.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm okay with 9. I'd much rather have someone else. I'd much rather have Brad Bird. I'd much rather have Matt Reeves. I would much rather have...
I'd rather have Aaron.
Alex Garland.
Ooh, Alex Garland would be phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. I would take Aaron Alvarado for sure. This is the good news, though, about Colin Trevorrow doing episode 9 is that by then, Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams like have got their fingerprints all over that stuff and will be heavily supervising the script and filming.
There were 3 Jurassic Parks before Jurassic World. Didn't really save it.
Yeah, I still feel like he did okay with Jurassic World, though. Like, given the circumstances, I don't know that it's going to be a great movie in retrospect, but I certainly don't think it was, like, abomination. Like, I don't think it was just, like... I don't think it was Jurassic Park 3, which was an actual abomination.
It was better than Jurassic Park 3. It was not as good as Jurassic Park 2. For sure. I think in our review, I said I liked it better than Jurassic Park 2, which I'm very ashamed
of. I still like it better than Jurassic Park 2. Jurassic Park 2's got major qualms. Like, it's close. Those two are close.
Goldblum more than makes up for his terrible daughter.
The T-Rexes are running through the streets of San Diego. Like, I'm just not okay with that.
That's not a bad bit. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. That's not a bad place to take it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know.
All right. Dude, this has been plenty long.
We need to start some podcast beef. A lot of talk. Next time.
What's that?
We need to start a podcast beef with someone. Like, I haven't seen a new episode from Happy Valley, Happy Valley, so I feel like it's over with them.
So we need new beef. Same with what's his name, the dude that podcast that we were feuding with from Memento.
Yeah, I don't even.
You don't I'm over remember it. His
we
name
need
either.
To feud with some big guys. Hey, Marc Maron, you suck.
Yeah, Marc Maron's such an a-hole. He's just so self-loving.
Although, like, maybe maybe our sexist comments about Channel 33 will get us in enough trouble.
Oh, Juliet Littman. What if Chandler Parsons defends her to us, like tweets at us and is like, hey, watch your freaking mouths again about, you know, when you're talking about my friend Juliet good. Littman.
Do you hear the way she talks about The Bachelor? Do you hear the way she talks about how she eats juices for lunch every day and how, like, she is so unrelatable because she lives this, like, L.A. lifestyle even though she grew up in New York in another unrelatable way? Do you hear this? Oh my gosh. She's, like, the least relatable human being on the planet. Do you hear how she has salad every day that's, like, $16?
Dude. I'm afraid it sounds like you've listened to as much of her as I have, which is...
Maybe more. Like, ooh. Every time she's on with Chris Ryan. And I've listened to those... I've listened to all of her Bachelor Party episodes because I liked The Bachelor. Whatever.
Oh. Okay.
But, like, I don't know. This is really bad to say. But I feel weird when she's criticizing the women on the show for their looks.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Can't do that.
But Juliet Littman. Like, that's a weird thing for me to say because, like, I'm on the podcast. Like, I'm not on movies. Like, I'm, like, Ryan Reynolds hot, but I'm not, like... Tom Cruise hot.
You're not Gosling, right? Yeah.
I'm not Gosling. I'm more Reynolds. That's what everybody tells me.
Yeah. Well, but, Adam Scott, but yeah.
Well, you know what? Adam Scott's like Ryan Reynolds pretty much. Like, he's getting leading man roles.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. He's got
those meaty man roles in his mouth. No, I just lost it. I just realized
I hear sirens in Dallas.
That's the norm here. Just the whole city's burning down. Obama was here last week, and it really screwed up driving.
Yeah.
Hashtag
things
Biden Obama.
Was here a couple weeks ago, and it really screwed things up.
You gotta see him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think that's the thing I'm most upset with you about, is the fact that you think Biden was doing a political move.
I think he's a politician just like the rest of them.
Look,
that's his job, is to be politically calculating. I respect that. But if you think for a second that he's, like, genuinely... Like, that's just him being him. I think you have been fooled by the system.
Do you think that he didn't run for president because his son died or because that he didn't actually think he had a chance?
I think he didn't run for president. I don't think it had anything to do with his son's death. I think he didn't run for president because Hillary Clinton's people strong-armed him because they were so afraid of him running for president. They were petrified.
I think
Hillary Clinton's people said, "Hey, Joe, You can enter the race if you want, but check out this file of all the extramarital affairs that we know about you and know that we will destroy you if you do this."
His wife died when he was like 28. Nobody's going to get out of him.
Yeah.
He's proof, man.
And I'm using extramarital affairs as an example. I have no idea if any of that would ever be true. But they've got dirt on him like they have dirt on everyone. And that's why Hillary's been able to get away with the emails and the Bing Crosby stuff. Like, I think that she has dirt on everybody, and because of that, she's untouchable. I honestly think that's why he didn't run. I think that her team, would have skewered him. So, yeah.
Dude, he'd be winning the nomination right now if he was running.
That's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that.
Because he'd have at least half of Bernie's voters, because I feel like half of Bernie's voters aren't voting for Bernie. They're voting against Hillary.
That's correct.
And, by the way, Bernie's getting killed. Like, I know he did well in some states.
I mean, he won Michigan and a bunch of states that she should have won. So I'm pretty proud of my burn.
Florida, Ohio.
By the way, you're supporting someone that just very recently wanted to put more boots on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. Stop. Oh, don't put that down. You got a little I heart H with an arrow. A little bumper sticker.
Progressive H.
Oh my gosh.
See, look, here's the thing. I love
Joe
Biden.
She wanted boots on the ground. She wanted to increase the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. That she is the least liberal, least democratic person running in the Democratic Party in I don't know how many years, since Lyndon B. Johnson maybe. Like, it's crazy to me how unliberal she is. She's just as conservative as George W. Bush. Look at her voting record. She's a career opportunist. There's nothing about her that tells me that she'll
be consistent.
She's
absolutely an opportunist. But what's been her
in the worst
whole plan
way.
Everything she's done has been leading up to becoming president.
Dude, I loved how she was like, Bernie, where were you when I was passing the health care? And they like went back to the tapes and he's like standing right behind her. Have you seen that? It's hilarious. Oh, gosh.
Well, like Bernie, look. I don't consider Bernie to be like, he's Ron Paul.
No, he's done way better than Ron Paul ever did.
Feel the
way
revolution.
Better. No, feel he's done revolution. Way better than Ron Paul. You know he's more legit than Ron Paul. And I voted for Ron Paul in 2008.
Doing better than Ron Paul because of a very unique situation that this election's provided him.
That the Democrats and the Republicans have both put up terrible candidates?
Well, first off, the Republican candidates are 1 million times worse.
Not than Hillary. Like
Trump,
I mean,
Trump
is a sociopath.
Unfathomably worse.
He's a sociopath. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sure that he is more dangerous than Hillary.
That's so stupid because Hillary is just an establishment Democrat. I know you don't think that.
Oh, that's
but
just not
when
true.
She takes office,
that's just not true. She's
when she
like
takes
a super,
office, she's going to do things just the way. Like nothing phenomenal is going to be happening, but nothing terrible. We're going to get a Supreme Court justice who's normal. Her cabinet's going to be a bunch of great Democrats.
We're getting Merrick as the Supreme Court justice, but yeah.
Like, it's going to be fine. Everything will just, like, for 4 years,
wow.
It'll just be kind
of. This is inspiring, by the way. You're convincing me to support Hillary.
Hillary would not win against Marco Rubio because Rubio would have a message. But the Republicans are idiots and Rubio's done. Like,
wait, the Republicans are? Or are you talking about far right-wing voters?
No, Republicans. The Republican Party is filled with idiots because far right-wing voters, guess what? That's part of the Republican Party. They have to claim them, just like Democrats have to claim socialists.
Dude, I was in the bag for Bernie Sanders. I wanted him so bad. Ugh.
Dude, Bernie is the Trump of the other side, though. You realize
that's
that, right?
Crazy. Stop it. No, he's not. He's principled. Like, he actually said Trump is a liberal. He's a liberal running
but
in the conservative.
They both are like, hey, here's all these great. They're both promising root beer in the water fountains. Like, Bernie can't deliver the things he's promising. He can't.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I love what he's saying. Like,
are you under the impression that Hillary is, like, going to deliver on the things she's talking about?
No, I'm under the impression that she will drive the bus that is the United States of America for 4 to 8 years, and it'll be just fine. And at the end of that period, we'll get Cory Booker, and it'll be great.
Dude, are you're already buying the Cory Booker stock, just like Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as he walked into that burning building, I was like, dude, that guy's going to be president.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, sign me up on Cory Booker. I'm like totally sold.
So in on Cory Booker. Oh man.
I haven't fully let go of Rand Paul just yet, but yeah.
Rand. When did he drop out? Like, I feel like that was just an asterisk.
Yeah, it really was. It was like over the weekend. Like there was no press release. He just wasn't there anymore.
Has he endorsed anybody?
No, he has not. But Ben Carson being compared to a child molester by Trump didn't stop him from endorsing Trump, which is amazing. What did Trump promise him? Like Secretary of Education?
He paid off his campaign debts. That's what he did with Christie.
That's what it was? Paying off campaign debts?
That's absolutely what it is. He says, you endorse me, I'll take care of your campaign debts.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That makes
Carson
sense.
Won't be
I
on
love...
his cabinet, I don't think. Christy
I
will.
Love the look on Christie's face on that one of those Tuesdays, the primary. You know, he's standing in the back. The look of like, what have I done? Like,
dude, it's
so... really was the look of someone who sold their soul for something, and I want to know what that thing was.
Did you hear?
Because I know he doesn't believe in Trump.
Yeah, he's done in New Jersey politics. Like his only hope is that Trump somehow wins and he gets to be on his cabinet.
Yeah.
Okay, really quick before we're done, because we're just talking for ourselves at this point, it seems like.
Yeah.
Who are the VP nominees for Hillary and Trump?
I think...
Because I think if Hillary's smart, she goes Bernie. I know it's insane, but I think she goes Bernie if she's smart.
Well, and that would be... I would believe she would do that. I believe she would do that. Because that's... it just feels like very establishment. Like, that's like... Obama kind of did with Biden. He grabbed one of the other people that was running.
But Biden didn't deliver a ton of points. Like it would have been equivalent if Obama had chosen Hillary as a running mate.
Yes, but, that's true. Like, that would be more equivalent.
That'd be like him taking Martin O'Malley.
Trump's putting is a much better... You're right. Martin O'Malley would be a better comparison. Now, Trump, I'm like, the range of possibilities runs from Gary Busey... to Mitt Romney, right? Like,
oh, Mitt Romney would be so delicious just to see him stand up there the whole time. And Romney's like, I have
Romney
to.
Romney says yes, by the way.
Romney says yes 100 out of 100 times. To be one heartbeat away from president sentence. Romney says yes every single time. There's no doubt.
Could you imagine Trump making him get up there and kiss the ring?
Yes. That would be election day. By the way, not, like, when he's getting appointed and they're using, like, an all-gold Bible and there's, like, strippers on stage with him. Stop. And Romney's up there. Romney will be blindfolded and he'll be publicly executed right there in front of everybody as soon as Trump becomes president. And the person who executes him, he'll be like, oh, by the way.
The first thing he does is execute his VP.
Yeah. Publicly, in front of the whole country. And he's, and the guy who does the execution, the executioner, he says, pardoned. And he's like, everybody, you ready for the next 8 years? Because it's really going to be 20 years. I hope you like it.
Oh, dude, first executive order is to change the term limits of the president.
Yeah, and then he's going to change the national language to Russian so his wife can understand what's going on at Walmart.
Dude, I'm gonna be totally honest, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it was honestly Gary Busey or Mitt Romney. Neither, like, the range, it just wouldn't surprise me. Anything is possible now. Anything's possible. You, Palin thinks she's getting picked, right?
Palin was first on board. But
yeah, she was first on board, which the problem was the VP ticket.
He thinks she's a loser. Anybody who's ever lost before is a loser to him. And so Palin's a loser.
Because he's never lost in his life.
He's never lost a campaign, which is true. He's never lost a presidential election. Palin has.
That is true.
So is Romney. He thinks Romney's a big loser.
He does. He does.
I think he's going to pick a non-politician. I think he's
going to
pick.
There's no doubt about it. Another billionaire. I think he's going to pick a reality TV star. Like, I actually think he's going to do that.
Could Arnold be vice president?
Hulk Hogan, I'd take.
Wait, Hulk Hogan or the guy who plays Hulk Hogan? Because they're different people, it turned out, this week. Did you hear that story?
No.
So Hulk Hogan had a sex tape released on, like, on Gawker.
I heard about that.
And so in court, they were saying that Hulk Hogan had been on Howard Stern talking about his penis, and that because Hulk Hogan had been talking about his penis so much, that that meant that he didn't really have that same entitlement to privacy that a normal citizen has. And then Hulk Hogan, whose real name is Terry, he's up there and he's like, no, you see, that was Hulk Hogan talking about Hulk Hogan's penis. This video is Terry. This is me. My penis isn't that big. Like, Hulk Hogan has a bigger penis than Terry does. And it's just like, ugh. This man should have died in 89.
So Trump's not picking him because we know how Trump feels about that stuff.
Yeah, he's got to have big hands, big heart. I think I could see Cuban.
Mark Cuban?
Yeah, for sure.
Mark Cuban wouldn't say yes.
Cuban would 100% say yes.
You're right.
And he would love it.
Shark Tank ratings would be through the roof.
Oh my gosh. The entire cabinet would just be Shark Tank people.
He would make, he would make cabinet, or people like would have to pitch themselves for cabinet positions on Shark Tank.
Dude, why don't we have why is Trump not filming his whole campaign and turning it into reality television for, like, E? It would be the number one show in the world.
Don't make no mistake, they're filming all of this. Now, while it's not being broadcasted in real time or right after they're happening, there is going to be a lot of video, documentaries,
so
the whole nine.
Mitt's whole campaign turned into a 2-hour Netflix show. Fine. Yeah. Like, whatever. It turned into a human.
Yeah.
It's fine. Why is Trump not a weekly E show? That's, like, weekly in the sense that, like, we saw what happened in Michigan last week, and we get to watch that episode on Wednesday of this week. Like, that would be huge.
Huge.
It would be the number one show in the world. And Trump would be able to be like, hey, not only are my poll numbers up, our ratings last week on my show were up, which means more people are...
Yeah.
He would totally say that, too.
Every time he would say that. Oh, gosh.
Except then they would have evidence of, like, his campaign manager beating up women or grabbing their arm.
Right.
Whatever. But...
All right. Dude, that's it for me. Dude, it's midnight where you are.
I guess. It's a good time. I could talk about this stuff.
You going to work tomorrow?
Yeah.
I know, I could too. Well, just a heads up, this episode was brought to you by MoviePass.com. They still got a lot of great deals going on. The movies are about to get real good real soon, starting with Batman v Superman. So you're going to want to get your MoviePass subscription as soon as possible. Also, the Robinhood Stock Trader app, downloaded today. You can buy and sell stocks for free, absolutely no charge. None of this $5 to buy, $5 to sell, garbage nonsense. It's just not there.
And there's also no minimum in your account. You don't need
no minimum. No minimum.
When you sign up, use the code SKYLERT, SKYLERT.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of tea, our third sponsor, very exciting, is Tesla. They make great cars, and you know what?
Let's David, what if we, while we're talking, I just had a great idea. If you have any complaints about us talking about politics, go ahead and send that to our Twitter account or send us an email. Yeah. You know all those things by now. If you don't, bravelittlepod@gmail.com and
bravelittlepodcast@gmail.com.
See, we all know what it is at this point.
And then at bravelittlepod.
Yeah, see, I get those confused sometimes. Yeah. Maybe our branding should have been better. And
do you think people complain? Do you think anyone will complain about what we said?
See, here's the thing. I think we're all allowed to make fun of Trump because I don't think anybody actually supports him.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think we're going to have any Trump supporters coming at us
now,
with anger. Right?
I did vote for Donald Trump in the Texas primary, but it's game theory. Like, I'm trying to hurt the Republican Party.
Right.
And I feel like we probably definitely have some Republicans who listen to the show, but they're probably the Jeb supporters.
I say we have more Republicans than Democrats.
Probably. But they're the Jeb supporters, and we can all agree Jeb was a decent human being, if a flop candidate. They're probably Rubio supporters, so they're all probably really bummed right now because they're left between a rock and a hard place. Because, like, as much as I don't want Trump as president, I would rather have Trump as president than Ted Cruz. Straight up. I'm being honest.
I would, too. I would, too. I agree with that.
Like, because I know what Ted Cruz is, and he's pure evil.
And he's Slytherin, man.
He, first off, I'm Slytherin, so back off. He's Hufflepuff to the max.
Are you really Slytherin?
Yeah.
You took the test?
I took the test.
Dude, I did, too. I got Gryffindor.
Oh, you typical. And every... loser. I have a real problem with J.K. Rowling's whole Gryffindor. Like, they're so simplified. Like, it's... Nobody wants to be a Hufflepuff. Like, Hufflepuff should also have something positive about it. Not just, like, friendly.
Yeah, I know. Well, and Ravenclaw's the forgotten house, so...
Well, I get Ravenclaw being, like, the Ivy League. Like, that makes sense. Like, sure. But Hufflepuff is just
Hufflepuff.
What a mean thing she did.
I'd much rather be Slytherin than Hufflepuff.
Okay. There you go. Well, so... Reach out to us if you're supporting Trump. If you're not supporting Trump, if you liked what we talked about, if you didn't like what we talked, if you sign up for a movie podcast, but you're getting so much more, and it's free.
You got a lot. I might break this up into two episodes, so
yeah. Good luck breaking this
maybe,
up.
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay, it's gonna be about an hour and a half. It's not terrible.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little more than that. But around that. But yeah. So we will, just a reminder, we're not outroing on our music. We're outroing on Anne Hathaway's Oscar acceptance speech, in case that sounds
bizarre. I'm glad you remembered.
It came true.
Well, as we say.
Thank you so much to the
hold
Academy.
Hold on to your butts.
And for nominating me.
Perfect.
With Helen Hunt.
Good night.
Jackie Weaver, Amy Adams, and Sally Field. I look up to you all so much, and it's just been such an honor. Thank you. There are so many people whose generosity and support is the reason I'm speaking to you right now. I must thank you, Jackie.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.
The crew, especially Simon Hayes and the Sound Wizards, congratulations on tonight, you guys. The creative team behind Les Miserables, Cameron McIntosh, Tom Hooper, from Working Title, Eric Fellner, Tim Bevan, Deborah Hayward, and from Universal, Ron Meyer, Donna Langley, and Adam Fogelson, thank you guys for your faith, and thank you for this opportunity. I have to thank my team, led by the lion-hearted Susan Bimel, Josh Lieberman, Nick Sullivan, Maha Dekeel. Please say I just said everyone. Josh Lieberman again, just to be safe. Stephen Huvane, Jason Sloan, and special contributions by Frank Salvaggi and Kerry Wagner. I want to thank my friends, especially the ones who are cheering from Crosby Street tonight, my family, who I'm so blessed to be a part of, my husband. By far and away, the greatest moment of my life was the one when you walked into it. I love you so much. And thank you for this. Here's hoping that someday in the not too distant future, the misfortunes of Fontaine will only be found in stories and never more in real life. Thank you.